valley after shadow of death. Well, that hymn there just says it all for me as well. And of course, you know, Psalm 91 with the pestilence and all that, because a couple of weeks ago I'd come back from Manchester and I'd had some platelets on the Monday and blood on the Tuesday, and on the Wednesday afternoon I was making dinner from Jamie and me and myself, and it was a nice dinner too, but I didn't get to eat it. And the message came through that I had a killer bug in my veins. A life-threatening thing, they said. I'd get up to the hospital straight away. So I didn't even bat an eyelid. I just thought, well, I started, so I'll finish. And if I go up there, I'll have to wait for ages anyway before anybody sees me. So I finished after dinner, and I'd already packed my bag in sort of anticipation. So I strolled up there about tea time, and then they kept me in and put me on some special antibiotic drip. It was too strong to take by tablets, so I had to have three a day for about nearly 2 weeks. But I didn't even feel ill, nothing like that. I felt such a fraud being up there, to be honest. And I had this lovely penthouse suite as well. And nurses in attendance all around, little angels there. And there were loads of Christian nurses there too. And they sort of sensed that I was Christian and kept saying, it's nice and peaceful in here when we come in, you know. And then they started saying, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. I said, there's no other way to be. And so I was able to talk to them about different things, you know. But I missed a chance with the spiritist. I asked God to forgive me for that one. But she was a bit busy at the time. While I was in there, I asked for England, all 50 million of them. And I went in at 12 stone, and it came out at 12 stone. So how about that? And while I was laying there, I was thinking, it started when I was in Manchester when I had the chemo, and I had a lot of time to think and to get closer to God. And while I was up in Chorley, it was even better. And I thought, God, you're making me dizzy with all these blessings. I didn't know what to do with them. Because, like, I was trying to sort of sort my house out, you know, and get a bit of decorating now and a bit of carpet in. And so God had given me a whole new mindset. Because in the old days, I'd take something out and said, oh, I might need that later on. And I put it aside. So I'd only end up throwing half the stuff away. You know the story. But it's just so happened that I thought, no, I'm going to just go down there and chuck out everything that I haven't seen for years. And that's it. And that's exactly what I did. But I was buzzing all the time. I didn't know what to do with myself. Yeah, so I thought, God, you're doing something here in my life that I've never experienced before, you know, that extra bit. And then, on the last couple of days, they were looking at my blood, and my platelets kept dropping a bit, and that's the only fly in the ointment. That's the blood clotting bit. But there was a talk in Manchester of how they can fix that, so that the platelets can stay in place longer. So I'll have to investigate that on Monday. But my hemoglobin, which was expected to be only around 7 for my age and condition, and I said to my key worker, I'm going to go up in double figures. I said, because my time's in God's hands, you know. And lo and behold, said 10.9. And I thought, now there's an amazing thing. So, so there's more dizziness, you know, with God's blessings. So they let me out on parole on Friday night. I should have come out at 9 o'clock when I had my drip, my last drip. And then another nurse came on, and he was determined to give me another one. And so I had to resist it because I would have been in intensive care otherwise. So I came out at 10 o'clock and went home. And I started doing things down there. I think I had a cup of tea or something. I started doing things, and I've been doing things ever since. And I can't stop doing things. So it's a wonderful feeling. And so I said, God, I'm going to put my complete trust in you, you know. And that's what I've been doing. And so that's why I've come thus far. And I have no fear now, like it says, no fear of tomorrow because he lives. And so it doesn't matter if God takes me. I hope he doesn't yet. Like, I would give me a few more years to clean up my house. But I have no fear of anything like that. And on another note now, I feel constrained to say this. I was thinking about the fellowship itself. I'm thinking about the Bible study and the prayer meetings. And I thought to myself, we are not supporting Pastor in these matters. And he diligently prepares these studies for us. And he meditates on them, and he picks out how he can bring them to us in the way we can understand. And hardly anybody turns up. And I always feel quite awful about that, and I'm sure it knocks him back a bit too. And because, I mean, he does put his heart and soul into it. So I would ask for everybody here who can possibly get in on Thursday nights to get here. And then this Wednesday night, the prayer meeting, that's badly attended. And we need prayers to build us up spiritually and hopefully numerically as well. And then there's the open air, which is also badly attended. I always feel embarrassed. There's only half a dozen of us down there. And when I think of how many's in the fellowship and how many could possibly be there, especially bringing the children down, I mean, that makes it like a family sort of atmosphere. And I'm sure it'll draw people closer because lots of people hide around corners to listen. But I think they'll come out in the open to listen better. So we are here to carry out God's commission in Chorley. So let us, with one accord, come under the unity of the Holy Spirit. And let's get behind Pastor and give him all the backing he needs. And I'm sure God will bless us abundantly, like he's blessing me now. So God bless you all, and thanks for listening.